Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for soul growth. Come journey with us through astrology's energetic cycles and get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Hello, I'm Sue Rose Minahan, host of Talk Cosmos, Insightful Conversations to Awaken Soul Growth. And today is March 24th, 2024. And I have to remember those because we're having a guest today whose birthday is today, and we'll do a little celebratory about that. And we're celebrating, really, this eclipse that is tomorrow on the 25th. Eclipses are really always, for me, a work in progress. We can project and project and think and analyze and look at it, but it's the experience. It's truly a resetting, a rebirth. And every process like that is not just a one-stage fact. Any play usually is a three-act play. They have one-act plays. And anyway, such is life, right? And we thank you so much. We'll be right here in because we're going to start off with we're ready for kaleidoscope visions.
Associating current astrology transits to a real-life natal chart transit reading through the understanding of the sky's cosmic consciousness for navigating free will options, this is your Kaleidoscope Visions panel.
I am Sue Rose Minahan, founder of Talk Cosmos since 2018, an evolutionary astrologer and student of vibrational astrology, a consultant, workshop facilitator, lecture speaker, writer, Dwarf Planet University graduate, charter member of Kepler Astrology Toastmaster Club, hold an AA degree and Associate of Fine Arts Music degree and Certificate of Fine Arts in Jazz. I'm an artist, musician, mythologist, and pursue esoteric philosophies.
I'm Amanda Pierce. I'm a soul-centered astrologer, blending intuition into my practice. I believe the universe is always working for our highest good and seek to empower my clients in our readings. I teach a four-week series of empowerment-based meditation classes that connect you deeper into your own intuition and innate power. I work in communications with a passion for employee experience. I also have a BA in psychology. I'm passionate about healing and enjoy helping others create new realities and shift old paradigms.
And I am John Chinworth, an astrologer from Seattle, Washington. I grew up in southern Arizona and was so obsessed with mythology that I concretely imprinted the Greco-Roman pantheon into my psyche. I still see those gods and goddesses infused into everything around me. My experiences of working with developmentally disabled and resource students for many years as both teacher and mentor has given me a strong compassion for others and has seasoned me with an exceptional reconciling energy. I have more than 18 years experience reading natal charts and continue to enhance consulting techniques by attending workshops and conferences. I use a unique blend of evolutionary, archetypal, and traditional astrological methods to look for themes in the birth chart for us to explore. I also enjoy penning poems and exploring Washington State on road trips.
And like the Sufi poet Rumi says,
you are the entire ocean in a drop.
Hello, hi, Amanda and John.
Hello.
So it's spring. Yes,
it
spring
is.
Have we sprung?
I don't know. So I think we're getting there. We're getting there with this eclipse, right?
Oh my goodness.
Starting to feel like it.
We really have. It's just incredible. With that said, anything in particular, or am I the only one kind of cracking open at the seams?
No, it's definitely like the energies are feeling intense right now, and I'm noticing it with everyone around me.
I'm
noticing it too. People are a little bit more outgoing and a little more bubbly, I guess.
Well, that's encouraging. It is a rebirth. It is. It's always when you look at things. Let's look at the chart. Let's see what's happening. Okay. We have Amanda Pierce, and you can reach Amanda at mandamoonastrology@gmail.com. And we have John Chinworth, and his website is skypathastro.com. Eclipses, they represent this entire idea of rebooting, I often think of it somewhat, would you say, like a theatrical show? The curtains are closed. We're all sitting there and the lights go out and then boom, there goes the show. Yes, the theater, perhaps. So we're building and trying to, but it's also a matter of releasing. And I think this chart is encouraging that through. Sometimes it's not easy to release things, but yet if one sees the objective ahead or else, it's just an encouraging something else is there, it, or a new perspective. Mm-hmm. Amanda.
Yeah. Well, when I think of eclipses, I think of them as getting us back on track on our path. And if we're already on our path, that's great. It just speeds us up a little bit. And it just, there's extra momentum there. And if we're not on our path, it's going to try and correct it. And sometimes that's where things can feel a little chaotic because there may be a shift of energy and that may show up big in your life. Maybe not.
I think of the solar eclipses as being a teacher kind of mode where we come to teach, and lunar eclipses is where we come to learn. We're like students. So as a lunar eclipse, it's like, what are we needing to learn right now? What needs to open up and what kind of knowledge do we need to take in? And it might be coming in rather rapidly because Libra Aries. So
I really like that too, because lunar eclipses are always full moon eclipses. So things become very apparent, you know, it's like, it's all lit up. And you really feel it because of that full moon presence.
I'm so glad you're both on this team because you really cover. I'm a student right here. I wasn't thinking that, yes, of course, it just resets us in that case. I always think, oh my gosh, new changes. But that's positive. So you covered a couple of these points. I was just looking at one of my little sky glyphs. You know, you can look at the sky, everybody. There's these wonderful glyphs, not glyphs, but they're apps. That's word is apps. Like, for instance, Sky View is a great one. And they come up with information. And one is that there can be 7 eclipses in a year, possibly. But they're generally a pair, solar and lunar, doesn't matter which is which. In a year, one can be first or the other. And then 6 months later, there's another pair. And they do attach themselves within, pardon my language. But a lunar needs to be about 18 degrees from the nodes. And that's when the sun's and the moon's path meet. See, this is just a little diagram. And that means join or connection, a knot, you know, a node.
It's like a crossing.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Like, we're talking about, like, we're in new territory, right? So we pass when a node happens, we're crossing a new territory, and that's what's happening in space, sort of.
Yeah. Here, when it's descending, it's actually going to the south node, and ascending, it's going up to the north node. And then this is another diagram. I won't go into it, but I thought it's for those people that love to know how we're in motion, because not only are we spinning around Earth and the moon around us with all these, but we're going through the Milky Way and we're heading north. The time zones, this is from Sydney all the way to Hawaii. And for on March 25th in London or Greenwich, it's going to be in the morning at 7 o'clock with 6 seconds afterwards. On the West Coast, where both of you are, and I think our guest, it's going to be in the morning also, 3 o'clock, and here, no, pardon me, that's going to be at almost midnight. That's right. It's going to be 3 o'clock in the east. Here's our chart. It is March 25th. This is using Greenwich or London, and it's 7 a.m.
We were talking about how it's like a bucket shape, how the moon is out by itself, standing alone.
It is emotional. You know, if it's not emotional, we're talking about our stories, I think, because the moon represents our stories. We can always change our stories, with a new.
Any moon left out in a hemisphere by itself, I always think of it being very vulnerable, and it being the moon, that's going to might add a little bit more vulnerability to it. It's out there in Libra trying to balance it all out, facing all the other planets like what's coming at me. That kind of feel to this chart, right?
Yeah, it's anytime you have a bucket chart, the handle is always the focus of the chart. And so that moon in Libra, it's where we're looking really to kind of tell us about these energies, and you can really feel it. It's been an emotional lead up to this eclipse.
The planets themselves are in pairs. That's the other feature of this, is
they
that
are.
Yeah, all the way, and they're close. You know, they would be called what we call in not a fan. This is like a fan. Anyway, very intense. It's from Pisces just to Taurus, but you have Venus and Saturn giving some kind of wisdom and maturity to what your desires are. And then the Sun with Neptune, that's clearly having visions and thinking, beyond the ordinary. And then we have Mercury but mostly Chiron in the North Node, this healing, energetic, contemplative, action-oriented. It's an Aries. It's identity. It's like, how can we move to become who we want in a more whole self?
Yeah.
And the other, yeah. And then we have Jupiter, the expansion with original, immediate-based, sudden Uranus.
A lot of the planets are in the universal houses, which the upper left side of the chart is well tenanted with planets. So getting beyond the self, or a transpersonal kind of feel, maybe a little bit.
And interestingly, with that said, there is this yod. There's two particular aspects that just take some real, that's what we're working on. One is a yod to the south node. But they involve all those outer planets, well, along with Venus. So maybe we're adjusting or thinking how to make these big expansive ideas and using our maturity to figure out what our values are and self-worth. But it's still, what do we release? How do we adjust that? What would you guys say about the South Node? Of course, it wants to speak to Libra. So Libra is really powerful here.
Well, the nodes are in North Node in Aries, South Node in Libra. So this is we're looking at relationship dynamics here. And I'll touch on the South point, but at first I want to mention the Sun and Neptune relationship. And this is a new cycle for the Sun and Neptune together. The Sun was just conjunct with Neptune. And so it went through this kind of like spiritualizing process or going very like yin and internal. And sometimes that meant we may have felt confused or just like things were a little bit foggy, but it's coming out of that now in Aries, and it's bursting out. And it has this sense of, oh, I know what I want to do now, what I want. And that's opposite of that moon in Libra, which is really all about, you know, like let's make sure everybody's good. And I got to think about everybody else. But then there's all of this other Aries energy, that North Node in Aries and that Chiron in Aries and Mercury, and just wanting to like do your own thing and heal by going your own way. And, but how do we balance it? I love that, John, you said that right off the bat. Like, how do we balance this? Because that moon is so prominent, and that Libra energy. And so we have to find a way to work with both of those and not get too caught up in the brashness of that Aries energy.
And Mars is by itself. I mean, there are some other with asteroids and whatnot, but generally it's independent. It's like it doesn't have, it's a singleton in a sense. You
know? And so it's in Aquarius, which is like being in the crowd, but it's being by itself in the crowd.
No, it's in Pisces.
You know what I mean?
I think it's in Pisces.
Right, it is in Pisces. Never mind. Well, I think I think of that as having like a sword fighter underwater.
Talking to the fish.
I'm really slow.
I love fish.
I'd like to take action, but the pressure, I can't do it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and there you have to kind of think outside the box, and how are you going to take action? Because it's not going to be that straightforward because of that. We've got that strong Libra presence with that moon and that south node. And
so maybe a lot of internal action, like what am I spiritually feeling now? It's like being a spiritual warrior in a way. That's kind of interesting with this chart.
Yeah.
And particularly because Ceres, the mother of Persephone, and Demetra in Roman, or it's one's actually Greek, and Ceres is Roman.
Yeah.
And she is squaring. In other words, she is looking at both sides for action of these nodes of where South Node, which is very familiar, our relationships. We know that's where we bring. This is the collective nodes here, where we're. It's familiar. We have routine relationships. And then that, how are we stepping out into that new identity that's going to be healing and all the actions? And where do we find nurturing? That's because Ceres was grief-stricken, losing her daughter. And, of course, that represents the whole idea of agriculture, that it's a cycle, that death and rebirth. And yet she also taught a child agriculture, how to sustain themselves with food, who taught humanity. And so it's this, where do we nurture ourselves?
I think that grief piece that you just spoke about, like Ceres is, wherever you find Ceres in the chart, you know there's an aspect of loss that's happened. Mm. And so it's squaring the nodes here, it that kind of just intensifies the energies with this. It's like, where have I... Am I going to lose myself if I prioritize the other? You know, it's squaring that North Node in Aries.
If I join the other, exactly.
Yeah, like, yeah, am I giving up on myself in any way? Am I losing myself?
Or is it a new venture? Is it something that's really going to aid my growth?
Right? I see. Yeah. Literally being lost. I'm stepping out into this new adventure, and where's this path going to go? I don't know. And I'm used to, as an agricultural goddess, I like my fields. I like things growing on time, right? Like, what new regimens are coming in that I have to master that is going to mess up my world a little bit? So it's new territory. Everything in this chart speaks to that. And it's just rocky feeling, you know?
Yeah. I thank you both so much. And Amanda, I totally approve. I mean, I resonate with everything you're saying. And that's why I jumped in, because there is, I know I've had a couple of new opportunities perhaps, and that I hadn't realized, but that really is my thought is, well, let's move on.
Can I say one last thing? Just that the moon is in Libra, and so its ruler is Venus. And I think both of you spoke about this, about like needing that maturity, because Venus is conjunct Saturn. And so Saturn, like, you have to behave maturely. And so here we are, like, at this crossroads and moving into new things. And how do we kind of balance these different things with that maturity?
Good. And I will bring up that little funny thing that looks over there in the sixth house, which is 1 degree Scorpio, is Haumea, the goddess of rebirth. And she's just now really staying in Scorpio and is square Pluto, which we know is now going to stay in Aquarius. So it's a long-standing rebirth process, a really strong rebirth. So
I really,
Haumea wanting to maintain as a creative goddess, and Pluto wanting to destroy. What a battle. What are we hanging on to? What do we need to let go of?
Create and destroy. Yes.
I love Pluto here though, because it's trining that moon and it's sextiling the sun. And so it does provide us with this avenue for us to step into our power, to really allow these energies to flow. And it being in Aquarius is so good at kind of taking a step back and seeing the bigger picture and kind of getting an overview and not getting wrapped up in the emotions of things. So I think that's an area where we can look to for guidance.
Okay. John, I know you speak of the Sabian symbols. They are spiritual essences for every astrological degree. And so it's always the rounded off to the next number. So the one we're going to focus on, because we have so much happening here, would be the five, with the actual Libra moon, which will be 6 Libra. Do you want to carry it? Or shall I read?
Well, sure. When the picture is a man watches his ideals take concrete form before him. So he's thinking of something and it materializes. And I think of attainment and achievement and endeavor. And because it's a full moon, it's really good to look at the sun. And this is really interesting. This is kind of a weird picture. A square appears with one of its sides brightly lit. So proportions, sequencing patterns. It really is a builder kind of eclipse on both sides.
Oh boy, I like this.
Both sides actually
take a rock from here and put it there.
Well, they're on the same theme. Often they can be opposite or really weird, but these are very squarely kind of about each other a little bit.
Oh, good.
Interesting.
So here. Oh, that was a Sabian. Okay, there we go. Thank you very much, Sue. Melissa, that is the individual who will be joining us after the half break. She was born March 24th today. Happy birthday.
I think
Nate has a... Yeah, there it is. Happy birthday. Yay. I love it. And that was 1949. And she was born in Fernandina Beach, which I think is Florida. So... there's quite a bit here, and I spoke with Melissa and learned that she is an astrologer. So from her aspect, we can talk astrology, although maybe the rest of our audience may not be as versed. But there's some really pertinent things here to look at. This red circles is a T-square. Jupiter here, just like Ceres in our other chart, is squaring it. So the philosopher, the expansion, and it's in Capricorn. The same degree, interestingly, as the United States, Pluto.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's in the 12th house. And that's where she would like to concentrate on how to make that bigger, how to enjoy that, how to access it. But meanwhile, her moon is also there. And the moon is opposite Pluto. So it's from 12th to 6th, 7th house. Here, and it's right. Her Pluto is right on the descendant.
Hmm. Her Pluto is also conjunct Haumea. We were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
a signature one for people. So, in other words, because I took the class with Haumea with Alan Clay, and he said that many Plutos, he's a Scorpio, so he's saying are perhaps more concerned with the life and death process of Pluto, which can be very literate. And then again, it can be just a cycle of rebirth, of endings and beginnings is what I'm trying to say. But when you have Haumea there, those individuals are more involved with, okay, so things have totally fallen apart, but what now? Finally, they get, how can we have a rebirth? You know, that's the focus. The endings are starting a new beginning doesn't make it so easy, but it at least focuses there where that's important. And of course, her Ceres, you know, Ceres and Pluto. Pluto's the one that took the daughter, and they're right there on the descendant.
So there's that whole midwife right there.
Yeah, she was a midwife for a long, long time. And so another feature is she has a yod. She has some in conjuncts, but there's one really good yod because they don't all exactly line up. But to her...
Is it Neptune and Pluto to Mercury?
No, it's... Yes, sir. Yeah, it is. So those two, Neptune, the great visions and the transformation with all of that. And she does have psychic abilities. She does past regressions. So she does access that Neptune in the eighth house. But with Mercury, and it's in Pisces, you know, so that's a adjustment.
She's got this interesting combination of that Sun, Mars in Aries with a North node in Aries. So like that really forward moving kind of individualistic energies. And then the Mercury and the Venus are in Pisces, which are just so kind and gentle. And it's like, how do you work with both of those? I mean, this is a strong relationship chart because she's got the North node in Aries, South node in Libra. And so that whole axis is activated for her. And she's got Pluto right there on the descendant. So she's come to experience really powerful relationships in this lifetime.
And with Saturn in the seventh house, there's a call to work at it, to do the work that's required of a relationship. There's never a bright way to read Saturn.
Well, no, but if you're going to accomplish things, it's good to know how the structure is. And, you know, so she is.
It's mastery. So she's here to like master the art of relationships. And and just like we talked about with that eclipse chart, like how do you balance that out? Like what you want, like she's got that strong Mars Sun connection with the other, which plays into that the Mercury and the Venus, which just wants to help the world and sometimes can give too much to others.
I think boundaries really does going back to that. And interestingly, we'll see that. Right now, there's opposition to that Saturn. So that's giving some sense of awareness in the next. And up at the top with Chiron and Chirico, Chirico is the wife to Chiron, and they're conjunct. It's a signature of this particular time in of the natal. And she was reminding me, because I've often tried to think about Chirico, that she was a midwife. She was a healer, but she was really the midwife. She, Chiron did the healing on the external with all the herbs and the medicines, but Chirico was the internal and helped guide, you know, with transitions and all of that.
Chirico is also represents a sacred space for healing. So like Chiron would be doing the healing and Chirico would set up the environment for that. And that's interesting to me because there's Jupiter and the moon in that 12th house trying to create that sacred space. So we have two marks of having to trying to find a space where you can be centered and you know what I mean?
And there's so much power in this. There's a grand trine, you know, going from that Chirico and up there in Chiron, that healing factor we've talked about, down to the nurturing and the grief, in other words, being able to help people and herself ultimately rise from this grief to find nurturing. You know, it's really beautiful. And then it conjuncts down to that Aries and Pisces that you were talking about. It's a bit wide. I think it does. Anyway, let's go to the next chart. Actually, that's okay because we're supposed to break. Darn. Here we have... I know. Well, this is the big enchilada of the.
There's a lot going on in that chart.
There is. And I think before we break, I'll just briefly say that moon of the eclipse, because this is on the outside, is so powerful. Look at that. It trines her moon. So it's that bucket moon is really supporting that moon that's tucked away in the 12th house with all that awareness and objectivity, but maybe needing to get really centered on how she feels.
On the ocean, on the emotional needs right now. Maybe a good way to move forward.
And the other factor is you look at with the arrow with, there's a yod here. Her natal yod is going right over to that transiting Venus, Venus that rules that moon. So I guess we'll have to break away and come back and look at it a little bit more and talk to her, because I think when we talk to Melissa, we can talk more about this chart. But we'll see what you say when we come back. Okay, stay with us. We're returning. And thank you, Amanda Pierce, John Chinworth, and myself. Talk Cosmos on March 24th.
While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We're currently in the period of Aries. By leaving a cycle based upon completion, the energy of Aries sparks initiation, creating action to separate into a new cycle of life. It's a fire sign, which means it will involve great emotion. And because separation may create resistance, it also takes great courage to break away to new ways of becoming.
This is Martha Norwalk, every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Natasha Venter at intuitiveclarifications.com, we cover the world of animals. This week, March 31st, it's an encore presentation. Join us to hear our last healing show with Dr. Nels and Linda Rasmussen. Together, they helped callers and their animal friends with emotional, behavioral, and physical issues, and you can receive a surrogate healing just by listening and following along with Linda's instructions. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Talk Cosmos brings insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for the soul growth with hour-long programs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel and Facebook page. While you're there, make sure you click the like and subscribe buttons so you get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers. And to find out about upcoming programs, sign up for the newsletter at TalkCosmos.com. So grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hello, and we're back again. I think I was just looking at my printouts. And before we bring Melissa on, I just wanted to bring attention to both of the nodes, because of the transit eclipse nodes and her nodes, they're both being accessed. And so just noticing up at the top of the chart with the south nodes, that her personal south node, which is 25 Libra, is being Mercury with this chart, is down there at the bottom, you know, of that orange line. So in other words, that's where she's emphasized, yes, to think about things that are going ahead in new directions, I would think. And then with the other one, with the nodes that are transiting, the south node, that one is conjunct her Neptune. There might, if you have thoughts about what that could indicate, like perhaps maybe boundaries, that's it, like, it could be so psychic, but somehow still, because self-worth, it's all in Libra, you know, realizing that value. Because where does it go down? It goes down to the second house, and of course, 15 degrees. Well, it's close to the Chiron. You know, it's 3 degrees from healing Chiron, whereas the Mercury is only 2 degrees from her north node. So it's like, yeah, somehow letting go of boundaries, or forming boundaries.
Well, and it may be, it may be that this is bringing things forward for her to gain clarity on where there is a lack of boundaries. Is that Neptune conjunct the her natal Venus is that Venus is already in Pisces and may lack some boundaries. And so adding Neptune to the mix is going to amplify that if that's an issue. And then,
Go ahead.
And then just that double energy with the transiting south node or the eclipse south node conjunct her natal Neptune. It's like, how do we let go of these tendencies too?
Because Neptune is also conjunct transiting. Neptune is conjunct her natal Venus.
Yeah.
So yeah, Neptune's a very powerful, you know, and it's a wonderful, imaginative, can be very spiritual.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And so that may be happening for her as well. There may be a deepening of her spirituality or her psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be both. One or the other or both or more.
I think sometimes it is a matter of me versus the other person. And it's not necessarily maybe it's the people in the growing up, you know what I'm saying? It's like me or just somewhere in that. John, did you have something that you wanted to add before we bring
my eyes are stuck on transiting Neptune with, I guess that's Hygieia, one of my favorite asteroids. Yay.
Yeah, health.
Right.
Very much.
Yeah, spiritual health happening right there. So we're wanting to face all these things, make those boundaries and create those new systems or whatever that is, so we can attain some kind of spiritual balance.
And
there's a rush to get that done as I guess Neptune approaches. Let's say Neptune's approaching.
All the personal the personal planets are really getting affected because here mm-hmm. you can also see that Venus that's transiting is conjunct her natal Mercury, which again is in that yacht. So the value system and that sense of connecting to our thoughts is along with that help of Saturn. And last but not least, I guess I'll stop there because, okay. Well, shall we bring on Melissa, the birthday girl? Hi, Nate. You can bring on hi, there you
Hello.
Are. You did join us. Great to see you. How wonderful.
Yes, great to see you too.
Yeah. So we would love to hear any feedback that you have. And
well, one interesting thing that's stuck in my brain is that my progressed moon is moving into zero Scorpio. And that will be conjuncting Haumea. So add that into the reverse scenario. We've got so many going on. But because the eclipse in October, this last eclipse, it was conjunct my nodes and my progressed moon was sitting on those nodes. Exactly.
So
in the previous thing. And now my moon on the 9th of April, my moon becomes zero Scorpio.
Okay.
My progressed moon. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that'll be 2.5 years that you'll have, right, that, which is beautiful because for rebirth with Pluto right there too, it went, and okay, the outer planets are definitely moving you into a good arena for rebirth and transformation. Sedna, also the very furthest planet of soul's destiny, is in May going into Gemini. So that'll be, well, anyway, we won't confuse that.
And Melissa, I'm curious to know how you experienced that progressed moon that moved through Libra, since Libra is it's a big part of your chart and it's a big part of this eclipse. I'm curious how that was for you or has been.
Well, at the reverse node, which was in 2014, where the nodes were reversed to what they are now, I met my current companion. Mm-hmm. And it's just been okay, fine. I don't really well being alone. Actually, I was married for a long time. I have 6 children with the same guy, which is unusual for my age group. And that relationship, my ex-husband's on his last leg, and his moon is in Libra, and Pluto's on. So anyway, I'm looking at that as an ending, a really strong ending for my whole family. And, you know, I don't know. I just accept this is a mellow relationship. It's not a beauty, whatever. It's not exciting by any means, but it's a good yes. companionship. He's 80. Right. He's aging very quickly. And I'm, on the contrary, very much not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not ready ahead. For that rocking chair.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because I think what Amanda meant more was just relationships in general about, you know, with that nodal. But
oh, I did have some problems with my children because, I had to leave and hide out for many years. And I went to the Amazon. But my relationships with my children are really nice. Almost all of them. And I have 14 grandchildren and they've been calling all day. And so, so in terms of my family, it seems like that's just becoming more and more peaceful. It's not something I dwell or any guilt or anything like that, because you can't transform. At least that's my understanding. You really can't go forward if you've got guilt or all of those other things.
True.
Are you familiar with perfections?
Yes. And I'm going, this year it's going into my 4th house.
Exactly. Starting today. This is very interesting. You're fine being alone. So being at home is going to be fine.
Being at home is fantastic. And, you know, I lived alone when I was in the Amazon. I lived alone and the villagers would get upset. But nonetheless, that's what I was doing. And during the pandemic, Pluto's been parked on my Jupiter and it was really beautiful. I mean, I know a lot of people have trouble with Pluto and this and that, but for me, it was the most liberating pandemic, I guess you could say. I've advanced almost, I hardly recognize myself some days. And that was T-squaring my nodes. So I'm wondering just, is this going to wrap up that transformation that I went through with Pluto sitting on my Jupiter? I've just started putting myself out there again or doing regression work and hypnosis work and online. And so
how long have you been back, Melissa?
I came back in 2004.
Okay.
But I'm you know, just since the pandemic, I've become active with other people and made friendships, so many friendships. And I have, this is Chiron in my life, but I had a Tibetan master for 40 years who passed in 2019. Mm-hmm. And but we're part of a global community. So like this morning I was doing practice with people, some of whom Russians, Ukrainians, French person, all over the world. We still practice almost every single day together. And that flourished because I'm not by myself, because I'm at home in the 12th house with a Zoom.
Yes, skill. It does make a big difference in that.
It's
moon been, loves to network. Yeah, the new moon in Aquarius, you know, loves to network. I'm going to show the next. This is your solar return. The only difference with this chart and tomorrow's chart, because the solar returns the day before, there, everything is only the moon at 14 degrees. And reading this, we would read it like a chart, and then we could superimpose it on top of a bi-wheel on your chart. But what I'm going to show here is I have your natal chart interior. In the middle one is the directed solar arc, not the progress, but the solar arc. And for those people that don't know that difference, it's a matter of measurement, because the whole chart turns 1 degree a year, meaning that it goes through a sign, or it takes 30 years. So if, but the relationships stay the same. So whatever is conjunct or square or aspected will have that, but new signs. And it's a timing device, which is sometimes very interesting. It shows that right now is the time for something, which is going to pass. It's Now's the Time by Charlie Parker. And then on the outside, whereas, I'm interrupting myself, whereas the progress chart for those folks is when you take a day at a year. So your entire chart can change, your inner planets. It's mostly for the inner planets, and particularly the moon, like you're saying, Melissa, and I'm speaking to the audience here, where it takes 2.5 years for the moon to go through, rather than in a solar arc, because it's a degree, it's longer. But but progressed are very powerful. It's a more emotional basis, whereas this is more of a timing, like a scenario. So on the outside is your solar return from yesterday. So I am going to, I wish I could get rid of that little thing down. You can't see it. But interestingly, healing is really so strong. It's where, and I mentioned the moon, I didn't bring that up, but here, if you have the 14 degrees there on the transit moon, that is directly across from your birthday to, no, wait a minute, that's a solar, that's your birthday, onto Venus. So I'm just saying that for your birthday, for the whole year, well, maybe 9 months, it's that particularly now, it has been for maybe 3 months, and it will be exactly for six, I'd say at least nine, that because it's also centering on your Mercury, that's my point, is that this opposition, thank you, between the moon and Venus is really synthesize with your thinking, your Mercury. So I think, and then when you look at the other healing prospects with Chiron in that birthday chart, your solar return chart, and solar return is when your sun is exactly at the same degree, not necessarily your birthday, because we have leap years. And it is conjunct at this point your solar arc moon. And of course, the moon travel is going to stay at 18 degrees for a year. It doesn't go to 19 until next year. It stays it's been in Aries for 18 years. And it will be for the next
12.
Thank you. Yeah. So
there's a degree you're talking about. Oh.
Pardon me? Yes, it's the degree. It's 18. And so, yeah. And so it might be, actually, it is 57 minutes. So it will be maybe entering 19 degrees in the next short while, because every 5 degrees, and we're getting nerdy here. I'm getting nerdy, but every 5 degrees is 1 month, because 5 times 12 is 60, and there's 60 minutes. But at any rate, but there's that big emphasis on and collaborating all the moon, Venus, Mercury. I mean, it's just naturally happening. Because you were talking about wanting to access your natal Jupiter, did you have thoughts you wanted to share here with us about? Am I making sense? I hope I'm not going too fast. I'm going back to this.
Well, I just wonder, you know, my tendency is to just go into the 12th house and stay there. And
nice, peaceful place.
Well, with Pluto there, why not? Well,
Pluto and with, yeah, and wow, with natal Pluto opposing it, you know, it hasn't been a peaceful part of my life at all. It's been difficult.
Well, the 12th house, really, to understand it more than, you know, it is the collective unconscious. And it is also, yes, with the aged sometimes. I know you were thinking about having a group, talking to people of older
older astrologers.
Yeah, right. Older astrologers.
People over 70. Let's have a talk group.
Yeah, I think that's serving it beautifully. It's,
yeah,
there's a wisdom there, because you have, wherever Jupiter is, a natural wisdom. You have.
And it's in Capricorn, which has that, like, I mean, sometimes we think of Capricorn as being like ambitious and climbing the ladder, but it's really also, in a different way, it's kind of like that grandmother knowledge. And so being able to kind of disseminate this knowledge to others is, to me, looks like a big part of your Jupiter journey here. And when we look at a planet that is square the nodes, we want to look to the resolution node. And in this case, that's the south node. And so it's in Libra. And it's, so this may be somewhere where you partner with other people to kind of bring together, bring out some of your knowledge that you have. And I also think, like, I really like that your solar arc moon is in Aries. It is a good energy to, like, start new things with. Like, you'll have this feeling of just, like, wanting to kind of start it, so that to kind of get you out of that 12th house energy a little bit. But, you know, you can do that online and still stay in the comfort of your home and kind of balance that all out, which is also a nice way to use that Libra energy as well.
Yeah. And Mars sitting. Go ahead.
I think my theme is I'm afraid to be seen. So that would be, you know, but it seems I really like what you just said. That was very helpful. And yeah, I had a store of information up there, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, and take it this way. When we talked yesterday, you weren't going to show yourself, but you took that step. You're showing yourself right now.
And that's part of that Chiron conjunct your solar arc moon. You know, this is healing on that, mm-hmm, that Aries level. Because Aries is very visible. It's out leading the pack. And so there's a lot of visibility, and also a lot of, like, Aries is that energy of violence. And so, you know, it's like when you're the pack leader, you might get hit by somebody else. And so we have these past life, you know, resonances to that we're working to clear, and that working through that Chiron energy may be a big part of that for you.
Yeah. You know, I will say that little steps. Oh boy, I was trying to grab all of this, because the fear is partly Capricorn. I mean, you have that, and it just takes a step in one direction, and also following your heart, which the Venus is really working on. supporting with you, and knowing that you have people that you can talk to, I'm not exactly expressing what I'd hope to express. All of that went away. I'm sorry. But I think, blessings to you. I know you can, just vocalizing this, Melissa, I think you've got plenty of, you'll be adored.
Thank you for joining an insightful conversation on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests awaken consciousness by connecting soul growth patterns with astrology's energetic cycles. Be sure to tune in next Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathways.